Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Can you be assured that your sins are forgiven? Whether we realize it or not, this question is the question that tugs at the heart of all mankind. The famous evangelical preacher named John MacArthur tells a story of his flying to El Paso to do a men's conference. He was seated in that dreaded middle seat, and he writes, "I was working on some thoughts with my Bible open, and an Arab was sitting next to me. I could sense his curiosity. He kept glancing over from the window seat and looking at what I was doing. Finally, maybe 30 minutes into the flight, he said, 'Excuse me, sir, may I ask you a question?' I said, 'Sure.' He said, 'I am from Iran, and I am new in America. I see you have a Bible. I don't understand American religion. Maybe you could answer a question for me. What is the difference between a Catholic, a Protestant, and a Baptist?' That was his question. I don't know how he framed it that way, but that's how he framed it. So when you're from Iran, everybody is a Muslim. It's not hard to sort out, but over here in America, it gets a little bit more tricky. There are over 28,000 different denominations in America. So I said to the man, 'I can answer that.' So I gave him a little explanation of Catholicism and how the Reformation came along and elevated justification by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. I made it as simple as I could. Then I talked about Baptists, the largest denomination in America, again, as simply as I could. I then said, 'Could I ask you a question?' He said, 'Of course.' I asked, 'Do Muslims sin?' Of course, I knew they had sins, but I wanted to hear him say it. 'Oh, we have many sins,' he said. 'We have so many sins, I don't even know how many sins we have.' I said, 'Can I ask you another question? Do you do those sins?' 'All the time I do those sins,' he said. 'In fact, I'll be honest with you. I'm going to El Paso to do some of those sins with a woman I met going through immigration.' How does God, the God you understand, feel about your sins?" He said, "It's very bad, very bad." I said, "How bad is it?" He said, "I could go to hell." I said, "You don't want to go there, do you?" He said, "No." I said, "Then why do you keep doing these sins?" "I can't help it," he said. "Is there any hope for you?" I asked. And I'll never forget what his response was. "I hope the God will forgive me." I said, "Well, why are you so special that he should do that? Why should he forgive you your sins? What reason do you have that he can forgive you of your sins?" "I don't know," he replied. "I just hope." I said, "Well, I know him personally, and he won't." What I said to him absolutely blew his mind. But the first thing that blew his mind was the first half of that statement. "I know him personally." He said to me, "You know the God personally?" I said, "I do. And I can tell you, he will not forgive you of your sins because he's of pure eyes and he has anger toward the wicked every day. He's going to cast them into eternal hell. But would you like to know some really good news about your sin?" "Yes, I would," he said. So I explained to him the good news of the gospel. I had the opportunity to get his address and send him some more material, and I directed him to a church that he could go to. I can only pray that he followed through with our conversation. But I do know this: I put a serious damper on his weekend in El Paso. This funny yet very serious conversation illustrates the whole ill situation with God and man. Man is special in God's eyes, but because of our sin, we have been alienated from God and are under the wrath of God. But we can celebrate today because God, in his mercy, has sent his Son into the world to be a sacrifice for our sins. He came for the purpose of reconciling all mankind to himself because we had no way of making peace with God on our own. Our epistle lesson describes how Jesus Christ reconciled us by water, blood, and the Spirit. These three point to the twin sacraments whereby God's Holy Spirit makes effectual holy baptism and the Holy Eucharist. We are made members of Christ's body through baptism, and we are fed by Christ's body and blood in the Holy Eucharist. These two sacraments point to our incorporation into the life of God and our true fellowship and communion with him through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Holy Gospel describes how this ministry of reconciliation was perpetuated. On Sunday evening of Christ's resurrection, he appeared to his disciples and he said, "Peace be unto you." And he said to them, "As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." And he breathed upon them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained." These words describe the authority that Christ passed down to the apostles to carry out the work of reconciling the world to God. The breathing upon them reflects the breath of God, the breath of life. The result of sin is death. Christ came that he might restore life, eternal life, unto mankind. Therefore, he breathed upon his apostles the breath of life, and he gave them authority to forgive or retain sins. Forgiveness of sins belongs to God alone. However, God has given to his ministers authority to pronounce the forgiveness of sins every time a person or the church confesses their sins. If a person sins scandalously and is unwilling to repent, like in chapter 5 of Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, the church retains the authority to retain a person's sin. In such situations, a person can be excommunicated or not allowed to receive communion because they are unwilling to confess their sin and repent. Of course, all of us fall short of the glory of God in word, thought, and deed. We should at all times and in all places be willing to confess our sins unto Almighty God and to receive absolution for Christ's sake. We participate in this confession and absolution of sin every time we gather together corporately, whether in Holy Communion or in morning or evening prayer. We also receive the same grace every time we participate in individual confession with a priest. Even though the Anglican Church does not require individual private confession, we offer it for the great benefit of helping those to overcome the sin and struggle that we struggle with every day with sin in our lives. The reason we do this is because when we sin, we are reminded that our sin is against the will of God. His desire, as our collect states, is that we put away the leaven of malice and wickedness that we may serve in pureness and of living truth. We acknowledge our sin, if we acknowledge our sin, as 1 St. John states, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But when we deny our sin, we make God a liar. So by grace, God has established a way for his people to be renewed in their faith in Christ by confessing their sins and receiving the promise of absolution and release from their sins on behalf of their faith in him and his passion. This is the good news that God has for all mankind. We don't have to be like all mankind, wondering whether or not God has forgiven us of our sins or not. We have this promise that he will, and we are reminded that he does so every time we come together corporately to worship him. So let us rejoice together on this first Sunday after Easter that we have been forgiven all our sins and that Jesus Christ has made reconciliation with God for our sins. May God remind us every time we come together of this incredible news that our sins are forgiven. And when we leave this place, may we have boldness to share with others the news that their sins can be forgiven too, not by anything that they have done or we have done, but by the work of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We don't have to wonder if God is angry with us and he's going to send us to hell. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now let us remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, who said it is more blessed to give than to receive.